Good afternoon, guys. This is Faber McMullen.
And Sandy McMullen.
And I hope y'all are doing well. We are here in the beginning, or actually almost the middle of August, and it's getting hot. And we're all wondering, is it ever going to be cool again? And it's easy for tempers to flare and to let the flesh take over. And today we're going to talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be going back to Galatians 5. So before we do that, we're going to talk about the fact that He leads me. Sandy and I are going to sing. And Sandy, why don't you open us in a word of prayer?
All right. Lord Jesus, thank You that You take us just the way we are. Thank You that even though we're curmudgeons and we get caught up in these things of the flesh, Lord, but You send us Your Holy Spirit. And Your Holy Spirit is there with us to comfort us and to guide us and to show us the way and to lead us, just as this next song says. Lord Jesus, thank You for that. Help us to be attentive to Your Spirit. Help us to want to do what is right. In Your name we pray. Amen.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that
all about being led of the Lord. And there's two ways, really, Paul talks to us in Galatians chapter 5. We can either be led by the Spirit or we can be led by the flesh. And we talked on Sunday that the flesh is basically your old sin nature that's in you. You were born with your old sin nature. Your old sin nature is there. And as you accept Christ, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells in you. And so I heard it one time being analogous to, which wolf are you going to feed in you? Are you going to, you know, feed the white wolf or the black wolf? I like to think of it more as, are you going to submit to the Holy Spirit in your life, or are you going to react in the flesh? So we're going to look right now at Galatians 5, and we're looking at 13 through 26, and we're going to leave out the part about the deeds of the flesh because we went over that Sunday. So Sandy, would you like to go ahead and read, if you would, please, just maybe read 13 and 14 there.
Okay. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And go ahead and read 15.
But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not that you are not consumed by one another.
So there's some weird stuff going on there. All the stuff about biting and consuming one another, devouring one another, loving your neighbors, yourself, opportunity for the flesh. And remember, Paul was writing Galatia because the churches there had fallen back into ceremonial obedience, and they were trying to follow the law. They just couldn't get their mind around the fact that it was Jesus plus nothing equaled everything. And, you know, we've even heard in our own fellowship when Pastor Snyder came, Daniel Snyder came, he talked to us about how he had brought some people to Christ, and they were intent on suddenly, I guess, being oohing and awing over the Jewishness of his approach to presenting the gospel, felt like they needed to wear yarmulkes, and they were putting on prayer cloths, following right back into the law again, applying these things or trying to apply them to the church. And a lot of that has come about, this kind of conduct really is bad theology. There's something out there that I've talked about that's really an insidious teaching, and that is called replacement theology, that the church somehow replaced Israel, and it didn't. God still has a function for the Jews. He has a prophetic function for them. We can watch what he's doing in world history by seeing what's happening with the Jews actually in Israel. The church has not taken over Israel. So if you think that it has, then you get confused and you think, well, what are the Ten Commandments are we supposed to keep? What are the Levitical law am I supposed to keep? And even today I was looking at some magazines that Wendy had given me that came in the mail. They were from this thing, I can't remember now, the Voice of Glory or something. And she said, check this out. And it's from something called the World Church of God. And they're not even Trinitarian. They don't believe that Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus clearly said in Scripture, I and the Father are one.
Right, right.
And so you get off into all this thing, and then other denominations like Seventh-day Adventists, who are wonderful Christians, claim that we must meet on church on Saturday because it's a proper Sabbath. And they get confused and forget that we are no longer under the Mosaic Covenant. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, he broke bread and he took the bread. And he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, when he gave them the fruit of the vine. We are no longer under those Mosaic laws. And so the Galatian church was trying to figure out, well, if we're not under the law, then how do we have good behavior? That's really what the question was all about. And it's interesting because he starts off there in 13. It says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I thought about that this week, Sandy, as I prepared on Sunday afternoon, that, you know, we are called to freedom. Christians are free, and the world does not understand it because they see us and think, well, you're not free. You've got to go to church. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. But we are called to freedom. And I think that we as Christians forget that. We want to sometimes try to put each other under burdens and under yokes. And the Lord himself, remember when he said, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So we're set free, and unfortunately, as I said, I don't think the world understands the freedoms that we enjoy. And we don't help the issue when we confuse living a moral lifestyle with the gospel itself. You know, mm-hmm. we don't mm-hmm. stop doing bad stuff to be able to hear the gospel and accept the gospel. We receive the gospel, and that should change our behavior from deeds of the flesh to deeds of the Spirit, okay?
And I think what Paul is also saying here is that as we walk from being people under the law into people being under grace, what happens is instead of being afraid of punishment for doing something wrong, our design, so therefore putting yourself under the law, what you're doing is you're wanting to please God. So you listen to the Holy Spirit and you do things that the Spirit wants you to do. And it's a freedom of walking into a behavior that pleases God rather than your behavior being based on being afraid of being punished.
Right. And that whole thing of being punished, I mean, I don't know. I think you and I both were raised in churches that were somewhat legalistic, you know. And Paul's talking about this. It's kind of a weird way that he says it. But I remember in the church that I grew up in when I was a little boy, if you had your hair wrong, if your hair was too long and it was over your ears, literally somebody would come down the aisle and pick you up and ask you to leave the congregation until you would go get the right kind of haircut. That's legalism.
Wow, yeah.
It's legalism. And what that means is when you have a legalistic congregation, this is exactly what happens. Paul says it in 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. That is right. What happens in a legalistic church.
Exactly, because my rules apply to you and not necessarily to me. And I think a lot of time is spent trying to figure out who's obeying the rules and who is not obeying the rules.
Right, and when churches get more into rule-keeping than they do into serving one another with what Paul says here, that you love your neighbor as yourself, then they end up eating each other up. And Paul's talking about that. And that's what happens in a legalistic church. And that's why Sandy and I are so intent at Union Grove to not get caught up in mores and all kinds of things and rules and regulations. But instead, what we're trying to do is what is commanded to us in the rest of this passage. And that is that we walk by the Spirit. And he says, there is a love for one another when we walk by the Spirit that is filled with grace. You know, I've had trouble today walking by the Spirit because I've been working on an air conditioner in the RV and I just can't seem to get it fixed. And it's easy to get out of sorts. You try this, you try that. And I have to keep telling the Lord over and over, Lord, I should not be upset or derailed by an air conditioner, but Lord, I want your Spirit to prevail in my heart. And I know what it is. It's like when we're going to have these podcasts, it's easy when you're actually going to be speaking on walking on the Spirit to then struggle with it that morning on being able to walk in the Spirit.
Right, exactly.
And you get out of sorts and you get upset and then you feel like a phony and you don't want to do it. Well, let's go ahead and read. I'm going to read verse 16. When we walk by the Spirit, we will not be trying to carry out the desires of the flesh. Paul's critics said there's no way to have godly behavior without the law. That's what they were saying. But Paul was going ahead and saying, we're no longer under the Mosaic law, but we are under a law, and that is the law of the Spirit, okay? And it is a law that is written in our hearts. When Paul was writing the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 2, 2 and 3, if you want to look it up, Paul said, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ cared for by us. Listen, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And I think you had a verse for us that you had pulled out of
Jeremiah.
Yeah,
I actually found a couple of verses. One is Ezekiel 11:19. I'm just going to read all three of these verses. Ezekiel 11:19 says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Then Ezekiel later says in Ezekiel 36:25, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the, you know what? I've made a mistake there. Sorry about that. Okay, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. And this is Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant that he's talking about. He's talking about the covenant of Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is spilled for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. That is the new covenant that Jeremiah is foresaw, maybe not in the way that God did it, but he knew that God was going to bring a new covenant that was going to be the fulfillment of the old covenant, where we would have the Holy Spirit in a way that the people in the Old Testament never could have conceived of. And the same Holy Spirit that lives in us gives us the ability to love our neighbor as ourselves and gives us the ability to control our fleshly nature and desires if only we try to do that, if only we submit to him.
So what these verses tell us is that the Holy Spirit will speak to us if we open our hearts to him. And I've talked to some of you all that say, you know, it just seems like God doesn't talk to me anymore, that I don't hear a word from him. And I think that part of our biggest problem, at least my biggest problem as a Christian, really is waiting on the Lord to whisper things in my heart, to really listen. You know, I don't know that he's not speaking. Maybe I'm the problem and I'm not listening. So the question of the day, I think, for all of us listening to this podcast, are we listening? You know, I want to hear a word from God, but I don't want to bother sitting and waiting and meditating and reading the word. It's like, okay, Lord, talk to me quick so I can go ahead and get my air conditioner fixed.
Right, right.
Instead of just saying, Lord, speak to me while I'm out here, like I do when I'm on the zero turn, saying, Lord, speak to me and talk to me. And when he speaks to me, it's really ideas come into my head and this sort of thing. And it's something, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, real different from your conscience. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, it's kind of a nudging and a pushing. And I think if you say, well, I just don't feel like I even want to sit down and do that sort of thing. I found a verse this week, Sandy, in Philippians 2:13, that says that we can even ask him to do that will in us, to give us the will to do it and to do it through us. You want to read that?
Philippians, yes, I'll be glad to read
2:13.
Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
So it's telling us that God's working through us to bring about what he desires for his good purposes. And if we cry out to him and say, Lord, I want to do your will, and Lord, I want you to work through me, he's going to do that. Our job is to be quiet and listen and to hear his still small voice speaking within our souls. And so I just think that one of the greatest failures, if we have failures at all, and we do as Christians, is that we just don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you do to try to hear the Holy Spirit, if you can share anything in that today.
Well, what I'm thinking right now as you're speaking is sometimes you feel like you're not getting a message from the Lord. And I would say in that case, you fall back on what Jesus said, which is to love others, you know, love others as you love yourself, love God above all. I think that several times in the scriptures it says that actually will fulfill the whole law, to love God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. No matter how you feel, no matter what message you're trying to get from God, if you start by saying, Lord, I love you, I want to do your will, and I'm not exactly getting it, and then you look for the loving thing, the kind thing to do, and living out these fruits of the Spirit, you're going to be doing what God wants you to do, whether or not you feel like he has directly spoken to you about your situation or not.
And I was going to differentiate this from your conscience, because sometimes your conscience can be an error. You can feel guilty about something that you shouldn't because someone heaped guilt on you.
Right.
And, you know, you think, oh, I need to do this because I'm going to let them down. Well, that's not hearing God's voice. That's you hearing your own conscience that may be an error. So,
sometimes the devil will whisper something in your ear to remind you of some condemnation or some error that you made. We have to just adhere to right here what he's talking about, these fruits of the Spirit. We need to practice those and try to cling to those. Those are concrete. Those are something we can live out in our life. And the rest of it will work itself out. When we feel hamstrung because you treated somebody bad, there's all kind of things that can hold us back from walking in the Spirit. But if we just endeavor to walk in the Spirit and follow these things, we will end up on the right path regardless of whatever our conscience tells us.
And unlike our conscience, the Holy Spirit is a living being that is dwelling within us. It's God himself in us. It's not like your conscience. He's speaking to us to give us wisdom and insight. And being led by the Spirit, really what it is, I think, is listening to the desires of God for my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I say, Lord, speak to my heart. Show me your desires for my life. Where am I errant? He tells me. He shows me. Whether I want to listen to him or not, or I want to obey, is a different question. But he's alive and he's in us. You know, he's promised to us. So I want to say one other thing. If you're hearing something, anything where you think, well, God's giving me a word, if it's contrary to God's word, it is not God speaking to you.
If it's contrary to the Bible, that's right.
It's you're either hearing your own flesh, maybe you have a twisted mind, a mental illness. And I'm bringing this out because there's been these people who have drowned their kids or burned up a sofa in their house or something, and they say, oh yeah, I felt like God was telling me to do this. God is not going to tell you to do things that are against his word. And so that is something. You know, don't look for the spooky voice to tell you something. You could be even hearing suggestions, like you're saying, from what I call the evil realm, okay? And as you said earlier, a good place to start really is to meditate on the Great Commandments. Say, Lord, you've said in your word that I need to love you. And I've told y'all that love means to give him all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, that your emotions, you give him your feelings about things. You turn them over to the Lord, and then you give to your neighbor as you give to yourself. Those are the two great commandments. So you can say, Lord, show me today how to love you more. Lord, what do I need to do, or how do I rest in you so that I'm exactly where you want me to be, right in the center of your will? And he'll speak to you and tell you that. You know, ask God to direct you in areas of your life where you need to apply these verses. You know, we all have areas that we just don't want to give them up to the Lord. There are things that we just don't want to give up. Our flesh is stubborn. And as we learned in these verses, it's contrary to the things of God, all right? And so you can just say, Lord, take my flesh under captivity. Lord, put it down. And Lord, let your will be done in my heart and in my life. Sometimes we don't hear his voice, and as I said, we tend to blame God for not speaking to us. God's just not talking to me anymore. And as I said, maybe it's a matter of timing. You know, what I've learned now at 64 years of age, a lot of the Christian life is waiting. And I've been explaining to Joey and to James Bleeker, young men in our congregation, that, you know, as you start off in your career, it's going to take way longer than you think. When you look back, it'll seem like it was easier than it really was at the time. But it takes waiting, going every day. You go to work and you say, I'm going to be the kind of employee that God wants me to be. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And promotions take time, don't they?
Yes, you and I've waited they do.
Decades for things to happen.
Right.
You want to say anything about that?
No, just that you persevere. And I know that we're leading into these fruits of the Spirit. Like I said earlier, if you can just perform the fruits of the Spirit in your life, try to make that a goal, that you live by those fruits that he calls out here, you're going to end up on the right side of what you're supposed to be doing, regardless of whatever your conscience tells you or anything else. You know, you just have to put one foot in front of the other. This is the biggest thing I have to say, too, about this. It, you know, the Disney generation doesn't understand, I don't think, that there is a lot of time where you have a job that supplies you with what you need to get by, but it's not this easy, perfect, wonderful job that you see your, you know, on the sitcoms on TV or in the movies or whatever. And you just have to realize that a lot of the Christian life is just being faithful in the small things being doing a good job at your work.
And being faithful daily.
Yeah, and not cheating your boss, and being kind to the people around you, whether you're tired or wearisome or whatever, but just, like I said, doing these fruits of the Spirit in your job. That's just the way life is. You're not going to have, I mean, there might be a very, very few people who have that perfect job. Most of life, though, is just making a living so that you can have a house, it's a roof over your head, and something to eat and clothes to wear.
One of my mentors is a pastor named Robbie Dean, and we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare, and he wrote a book on spiritual warfare. And in his book, he reminds us that don't look for the devil to be the one that has done all this stuff to you. He said, remember, you're fighting the world, your flesh, and the devil. And so it's our flesh that gets in the way. The flesh is that other nature that's pulling on us. I on Sunday, we're going to have a meme that I put up there. It's of a tight, what's it called when people get ends of a...
Oh, it's a rope.
Yeah, the rope that you pull on one side and...
Tug of war,
and everybody's pulling out of the other. There is a tug of war going over for your mind. The flesh is on one side pulling you towards doing things of the flesh, and the Holy Spirit's pulling you on the other way. So don't fear your flesh. Just recognize it and put it under the authority of God in your life. That's what I try to do. Say, Lord, I confess to you that my flesh in this area is out of control. Lord, I put it under your feet. Lord, put it in the right place. And then we see in verses 19, 20, and 21, he goes through all those works of the flesh that we talked about Sunday. So I don't want to go over those again. I want to talk now about the fruits of the Spirit. So why don't you read us, sweetheart, verses 22 through 26.
Okay, here we go. Verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another.
So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I have this little thing I wrote out here. Now the desires of the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast to the flesh, the fruits of
the
flesh,
what
had just been mentioned, is love, which is an action, not a feeling. Joy, which is not based on circumstance, but is based in God. Peace within us and outside of us. Patience and how we act while we are waiting for the thing we are expecting. Kindness, which is giving to those who don't deserve it. Goodness, which is doing the right thing with no ulterior motive. Faithfulness, being trustworthy and true. Gentleness, which is humility, and self-control, which is the hinge on which the whole door swings.
It takes self-control. You know, I was looking at the deeds of the flesh this week and that we had talked about Sunday. And one thing, remember when I talked about strife, I kind of just went over it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and looked at the Greek for the strife. And what it really boils down to is drama in your life. People with drama in their
exactly
life.
Exactly right.
I looked it up, but people that are filled with drama, it's all the deeds of the flesh. Drama is a deed of the flesh. And the Greeks recognized that, and Paul wrote about it. He said, you know, if you have drama in your life all the time, you're living by the flesh instead of by the Holy Spirit. So what Sandy said is when we turn the flesh over, we crucify it with the Lord, and we let Him live through us, then we can have these things that are evident of the Holy Spirit taking control. We don't do these things and then get the Holy Spirit to come into us. What we do is we yield to the Holy Spirit, and that makes us love. Now, I've told y'all that love is associated with the word to give. Okay, as a husband loving a wife, there's a whole lot of giving going on. And it comes the other way as well. And I'm talking about the kind of love when you put your own desires, you lay them aside, and you do what's maybe best for the other person, okay? And it's giving God your emotions and your mind and those things, where we talk about loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the biggest one here, I think, is the last one, just like you've said, and it's self-control. Self-control is when you say, self, my dad used to talk to himself, self, you are not going to fear this. And then you can quote scripture to yourself. And that's basically the Holy Spirit quoting scripture to your soul, telling you how to get in line and how to walk in the Spirit, all right? Patience comes about that can never be gemmed up by the flesh. So these things that happen, Sandy, I cannot calm myself enough or do breathing exercise enough sometimes to have peace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It takes
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit to give me the kind of peace that I need. And patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness. Self-control, against such things there is no law. So Paul goes on to say, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I don't know if that's in the aorist tense or not. I'd have to look and see. But if it's in the aorist tense, it's a past that was not final. And so that means that we would continue where we are going to have to crucify our flesh over and over and over and say, Lord, no, that part of me went into the grave with Jesus. And now I want to be risen, and I want to rise with Him in triumph, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, this is a daily exercise of self-control, where we submit ourselves to the Lord, and we say, Lord, You control me with Your Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit of God to control me, where I don't have deeds that are these fleshly patterns of all this aggravation, all this strife, all this carousing, all this focus on sensuality and all those things we talked about Sunday. Rather, let me be focused. Let me have a mind that is the mind of Christ, so I can see the world and situations around me and people around me through the Lord Jesus' eyes. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I guess what we're really coming to the end of this, and I want to just say that each of us have a decision to make. We can identify daily with Christ's death and allow our own flesh to be crucified and we can die there, or we can go on living in the flesh. So if we're going to live by the Spirit and not by the law, then we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. So you do that by claiming 1 John 1:9 over and over. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you are engaged in deeds of the flesh, I was telling James yesterday, he said, how many times will God forgive me? He said, without limit. He'll forgive you forever. Even when I do it again, yes. Even when you do something again, you don't run around willing to do wrong, but He forgives us over and over and over again. I said, James, you claim 1 John 1:9, if you can confess your sins, and that means saying, Lord, I know I have this problem in my life. Lord, I give this problem again to you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. He promises that He will do that. And I said,
that's right.
James, it's like when you were a kid and you were on a, he had played soccer and so did I, and the ball gets kicked out of bounds. That's what sin is like. And the devil wants you just to be ashamed that you kicked the ball out of the bounds, okay? But what we're supposed to do is pick the ball back up, throw it back on the field like you do in a soccer game, and get back in the game. And we can do that over and over, and that is part of how we exercise the fruits of the Spirit and how we have them in our life. And I think you've got a little song for us.
Yeah, I've got a little scripture song that I learned back in my early days, if you pass me the guitar. And this is called, it's just called Stand Fast Therefore, and it's from these same scriptures that we've been reading, and I haven't played guitar for a while, so y'all have to bear with me. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion unto the flesh, but by love serve one another. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you that you give us hope, and Lord, you give us joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness, Lord, even when we can't muster that up in the flesh, you promise that you will both work in us and do your good pleasure. So, Lord, I pray that those that listen to this podcast will submit to you again today, ask forgiveness for sins. Lord, you're faithful and you forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Lord, help us each to listen better this week and to walk in the Spirit so that we're doing the things, thinking the thoughts, speaking the words that you would have us speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys, and we'll see you on Sunday at the Grove.